Welcome back to another episode of Family Business Today, where every family has a story to tell and a step to take to not only thrive, but working together, create a lasting family legacy. Brought to you by the Tennessee Center for Family Business, I'm your host, Greg Lewis. Our guest today is Trudy Cathy White. Trudy is the youngest child and only daughter of Chick-fil-A founder Truett and Jeanette Cathy. At just 19 years old, Trudy opened Birmingham, Alabama's second Chick-fil-A restaurant, making her one of the youngest operators in Chick-fil-A's history. Trudy and her husband John served in international missions for 20 years with the International Mission Board. Upon completing their work with IMB, Trudy served for 13 years as the director of WinShape Camp for Girls, while together the Whites co-founded LifeShape and Impact 360 Institute. Today, Trudy serves as a Chick-fil-A ambassador and has become nationally known as an influential leader and speaker. She is the author of several books, including her most recent release, A Legacy That Lasts, which focuses on living today the legacy you hope to leave future generations. Trudy and John are the proud parents of four children and grandparents of 17 grandchildren. To learn more about Trudy's new book, A Legacy That Lasts, visit www.alegacythatlastsbook.com. To learn more about Trudy, visit www.trudycathywhite.com. Well, good morning, Trudy. I am so glad that you could join me this morning for this edition of Family Business Today. I've been looking forward to our interview to learn more about your family business and your new book, A Legacy That Lasts, Creating a Lasting Family Legacy. So let's get started. You were a restaurant operator at Chick-fil-A when you were 19 years old. That role changed over time. What is your role at Chick-fil-A today?
So I've had lots of roles throughout the years involved with Chick-fil-A, but my first paid job was when I was 19 years old. I had just finished my freshman year at Samford University in Birmingham. I was home for the summer with my parents, and in a quick conversation with my dad, he told me he was looking for a Chick-fil-A operator in the Birmingham area. And I told him that I had not met anybody that I felt would be a real good candidate, but I told him I would be happy to help him. And if he needed an operator, I thought I could probably do it quite well. I was 19 years old, and if anybody's been around 19-year-olds, you kind of feel like you can take the world by your hand and you can do anything that you're asked to do. So I felt that way. So I raised my hand to be the operator for Century Plaza Mall in Birmingham at the age of 19. And it was a big challenge for me. I had to go through training like all of our operators. My dad told me I couldn't call him crying if I had problems in the store. And then he also said I would have to turn the restaurant back in after a year because my dad wanted me to go back and finish my college time. So that's how the story got started with me as an operator.
Oh, great story. Well, singing with Dan and Bubba to store operator and to where you are today. That's really amazing. Well, what we're talking about today is creating a lasting family legacy. And you've written several books, but your most recent book is A Legacy That Lasts. What inspired you to write A Legacy That Lasts?
Yeah, you know, it was an interesting season for me. My dad passed away at the age of 93 in 2014. And my mom, just 10 months later, passed away at the age of 92. And John and I served as missionaries overseas in Brazil, and we had come back to the States, and we were living close to my mom and dad during that time of their season of life. And that my mom and dad were married for 66 years. They lived in the same house for 54 of those 66 years. So it was the home that I grew up in. Sure. And that's a long time to live in one place, right? And
Right.
Losing both mom and dad, I realized that, man, they left everything. They didn't take anything with them. And because I'm the daughter in the family, I was the one that would just kind of go through the house and clean through it. And it was anybody that's experienced loss or had to go through things of people who are no longer here understand that it's part of the grief process and sometimes can be very difficult. I remember days going over to my mother's and dad's house and cleaning through cabinets and drawers, and I would just break out in tears and have to lock the door and leave because so many memories flooded my mind of time with them. And then there were other times when I was cleaning through some things, and I would come across something that maybe my mother had held on to, and I would look at it and I would think, Mother, why did you hold on to this all this time? And so, we tend to collect a lot of things through the years, and by the time I cleaned through their entire house, I realized that although they had left everything, the thing that they left of most value to us as a family was their legacy. It was the life that they had lived, that they left us, that was so much value. And it was then I began to realize that the legacy we all leave then is the life we're living right now. And I was inspired to write this book called The Legacy That Lasts, just to talk about the legacy, not only that my parents lived, but to challenge people to be a little bit more intentional in how you live your life, because that is the legacy that you're going to leave.
Oh, very, very good. Well, Trudy, it was easy for you to, you grew up around your dad, and you grew up around the business, and you saw those values continue on. But when we get to third generation or fourth generation, or we even get to our team members that work in our family business, they may not have known Truett. And knew his values, whatever they were. Why is it important to understand your family business legacy, generation after generation after generation?
Well, I think just not only with the family business, but even just with the family, when you understand what really matters to you, those are your values, and you live them out, then you have a greater opportunity to be able to transfer those to the next generation. I challenge people to identify their values and then the way they preserve those values, they begin talking about them. And the most important thing they can do is actually live them out. That is something that, my brothers and I saw my parents live out what was important to them in their life. Now, my parents never verbalize their values, but we all have them. And I think if I had to look back on my parents' life and identify values that were important to them, one I would say is consistency was an important value in the lives of my parents, because my mom and dad lived a very consistent life. It didn't matter where they were or who they were with. And that was a tremendous impact on my life. We also enjoy it at Chick-fil-A. We hope that when anybody eats at Chick-fil-A, whether they eat in Georgia or Tennessee or in California, we hope that it's a very consistent service that they get and a quality of food that they get with team members that are happy to take care of our customers. So there's a sense of consistency that's been lived out in the family business. Another value that I have identified that was a part of my parents' life was their faithfulness. They were faithful to the Lord, and they were faithful to others in their relationships. And I've treasured that so much to watch that happen in their life, how they lived that out. And third value, I would say, was they were amazingly generous. They were generous with their time, with their talents, with their resources, and even with their influence. So values within our family and within our family business are transferred successfully when we talk about and live out our values, and we challenge people around us to help them understand what is it that really matters to you in life. Identify those and to begin to put that into practice to live them out.
Oh, well, great, great, great values to have, and certainly we all know the generosity that the Truett family has had to our communities and to our churches and to us as individuals. Well, so you talked a little bit about it, but how do you instill those values to the ones that work in the Chick-fil-A restaurants?
Well, our operators, our owner operators, and the individual restaurants around the country are amazing. They are not investors from a financial standpoint, but they are investors in developing our team members. So this next generation of team members that we have in our stores, they look to their operator to encourage them, to set an example for them. And our operators really invest heavily to develop these young people that work with us. Now, we know that most of these young people are not going to probably go into the restaurant business. They're going to go out and do a lot of other things. But what we can do during the season that they're with us in our restaurants is we can develop them and give them life skills and give them opportunities to understand what does it mean to lead. And leaders have to learn how to serve. And how genuine are you when you serve others in the restaurant? So the restaurant environment is a great place to learn to serve. It's one of our values in Chick-fil-A is we're here to serve. And we're better together. So we teach these team members, how do you work together? How do you use the strengths that you've been given to encourage one another? And be purpose-driven in what you're doing. One of the great things about our family business is we certainly know what our purpose is. Now, the cows help us to promote that purpose. You know, they tell everybody to eat more chicken. And that's what we really want people to do. But the reason that we are in business is to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that's been entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. So if we have an opportunity to talk and to live out these values and this corporate purpose that we have in front of team members, we believe will make a difference in this next generation, that they too will learn how important it is that it's better to give than to receive, that you can glorify God by being good stewards of what you've been given, and you can have a positive influence on the lives of people around you.
Very, very well. Yes, that's a lot to live up to, both as a family and also as a company. Well, some of our listeners may be saying, you know, I'm sure that we have family values, but I've never maybe written them down like you were talking about your parents. Mm-hmm. What are some exercises that our listeners might suggest that might help them to identify their family values?
Well, in my book, I put down a few what we call value exercises, what John and I have done. Now, John and I have raised 4 children. They're all grown and married, and we have 17 grandchildren now. So we're in a season of life that we're really trying to pour into this third generation of grandchildren in our lives. But some of the exercises that we've done with them is we've taken just a stack of maybe like 100 values, and they're all good things. And we've asked our children to sort them out like a deck of cards and put in one stack what's really important to you, put in another stack, this is sort of important. Maybe there's a third stack that says, this isn't really important to me. And you just kind of go through all these cards and you try to get this list down to a manageable number, maybe 4, 5, or 6 values, that things that you identify, you say, this really matters to me. And then you begin to see, how do you live those out? Now, John and I have 5 values: our faith, our family, integrity, generosity, and gratitude. And we actually have those hanging above our dining room table so that when people come in, they know, you know, this is important to us. We talk about them on a regular basis, and we've challenged with our children and now even our grandchildren to help them understand. So it's a simple little exercise that you can go through. You can Google value lists and find a good list. But it's a wonderful exercise to go through for an individual. I would say for a couple as well. And certainly, maybe not this particular exercise, but certainly important that a company understands what their values are and take a stand on those. It really does allow you to be a little more consistent in how you live your life. And I would say it allows you to be a little more intentional.
That is intentional. And also, since the word can also hold you accountable, I like the idea of hanging those up where you see them every day. And then other people that come into your life, I see them as well. And so it does hold you accountable as well. So I like that idea. So Jennifer, that's, and I right, can get us a deck of cards and start doing that ourselves. So make sure we're on the right tack. Well, you know, one of the places that most people are challenged with their values is when a crisis happens. And, you know, we're only a couple of years beyond the COVID crisis that affected all our businesses, and I'm sure it did Chick-fil-A as well. How can values help family business owners in times of crisis?
I think that one of the biggest things that values help us, when we have real clarity of our priorities and what's important to us, then we're able to kind of stick with that. There's so many, we live in a changing times. There are crises that happen. There's just change that happens. And the world is changing all around us. But one of the things we need to recognize is that the biblical principles never change. They are as true yesterday as they are today, and they will still stand true tomorrow. So for us at Chick-fil-A, we recognize that biblical principles go hand in hand with good business practices. There's just no secret to these biblical principles. They're found in God's word, and they can be the truth that anchors us to what we need, particularly in challenging in times. And so we kind of are able to stay the course, so to speak. You know, it's kind of like being out on a big ship, and you've got your GPS, you've got all your guidance to be able to go when the storm comes. You've just got to stay the course and stay in line. And we've had to do that so many times at Chick-fil-A as well. It's just know what's important to us and stay focused on that. I would also add that when you understand these values, not only does it help you during a time of crisis, it does help you to be a little more intentional how you live your life and how you run your business every day. But I also would say that it helps in the decision-making process. It allows you to say no to good things and yes to the better things. There's just so many things going on that we can do. We have to have a sense of discernment to know how to say yes to the better things. And when we have clarity of our purpose and our values, we begin to live those out, then we feel a little more comfortable to say no to some things so that we can say yes to the better.
It's easy to say yes. It's harder to say no,
yes.
But it is good to do that as well if you're going to stay true to your values. Well, you talked a little bit about putting your values up over your dining room table where you can see them all the time. But you talk about you and Don and your Christmas cards that you receive every year. Tell us a little bit more about what you do with that and how that incorporates family values.
Yes, well, probably like most people who are listening, we get lots of Christmas cards, and people spend a lot of time to write something, put a stamp on it, and mail it, and we get them. And so John and I collect them over the month of December, and we put them all in a basket, and then when we sit down for dinner in the evening, we'll pull four or five of those cards, and we begin to pray. And we pray specifically for those people that sent us a card, and then I'll typically drop them a quick text and say, we got your card. We prayed for you tonight. Thank you for thinking of us by sending us a card. And it takes us a while. We still have a stack in our basket. We'll do this throughout the year. We'll usually finish up around June in July, because occasionally we'll be out and won't have the cards with us. But we'll make it through the whole stack over the course of the year. And it's just a way to personalize and be intentional. Again, I just love the idea that we can influence people by intentionality in our life. And so it's a great way to express thanks to them, send the card, but it's a great way to take notice of them and take a special time just to pray for them. So when we can do unique things like this, we feel like it's kind of going over and beyond what's expected to us. I know a lot of your listeners are in businesses, and in Chick-fil-A life, we say, you know, it's important that we go the second mile in what we do in terms of service with our customers. Customers have a few expectations, but we love to see how we can surprise them by going beyond their expectations. It's one of the reasons we say my pleasure when people eat with us. And we train our team members to say that, because we want them to understand it is a real pleasure when we get to serve others and do things for people. I mean, if it's raining and we see a young mother trying to come in our restaurant with the baby and the stroller, if we've got an umbrella close by and we can run out there and help her get in, probably not something she would expect to happen at a quick service restaurant, but things that we love to be able to do in that way. It's just a wonderful way to be intentional with other people and kind of surprise them. It makes life kind of fun when you can do that. So we do that with Christmas cards, and we can all get creative in how we can do things for other people that bring a source of encouragement and help them to feel special.
Well, always been very nice when we come through the line or whatever. There's so many ways that you can either through this going inside or outside, all that extra service that you do at Chick-fil-A is really amazing. Well, you've already talked about your children, your grandchildren, and I know that you love them and enjoy having them around you. But it also is a big responsibility for John and you. How have they inspired you to become even more passionate about defining your family values over the years?
Well, I think a big part of it is just watching my mom and dad live out their lives. What, you know, we've all heard that phrase that things are more caught than taught. And it's just so true. You know, you can talk, we raised our children, and sometimes, you know, I would get so frustrated because I feel like I would tell them the same thing over and over and over and over again while I was raising them. And then I realized, you know, well, maybe I shouldn't be so concerned about what I'm saying, but I should be extremely concerned about what I'm doing, because I think that's the way people learn around us. They catch on to things that they see us doing. The way my mother and dad lived their life, their faithfulness to one another, to the Lord, to other people, there was so much about their lives that I caught just by watching them. My mother and dad were incredible about how they spent their time with this next generation. They loved being with young people. My dad taught Sunday school in church for teenage boys for over 50 years. My mom for almost 30 years. But you could hardly ever find my dad out going on a trip without taking some young person along with him. So it's just amazing how so often we feel like, well, I don't have money to do this, or I don't have what the other people have, or I can never do this or that. You know, we can complain all day long about not having what we feel like we need to have to be able to do things for others. But the real scheme of the thing is that if we just live our lives, so often will make tremendous impacts. I think creating experiences are far more valuable than gifts that we give. Gifts are wonderful, and they have its place, but particularly I think of when we were raising our children and even with our grandchildren, you know, they grow out of what we give them, they break it or they lose it, or, you know, things happen to it. But when we create an experience, just being around people, that is the best opportunity we have to be able to transfer values, to help people understand what's important to you in your life. So I just love to be reminded so often that things are caught more than they are taught, and people will understand what's important to our life by watching how we live our life.
Oh, that's a great point. Well, that's a great segue into to my next question. All the proceeds from your book, A Legacy That Lasts, go to the Impact 360 Institute Legacy Fund. Tell us about this. What is this?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. Impact 360 is a gap year program for young people between the ages of 18 and 20. It's a 9-year program. They come, they live on campus. It's south of Atlanta, Georgia. They come from all across the country, even out of country. We have a lot of international students that are part of this program. Right now we have about 85 students in the program, and they are there to know how to ground themselves in God's word, to understand biblical principles. They are there to be transformed by the character of Jesus Christ, and to live out a spirit-filled life when they leave from our place to head off to college, wherever they're going, whatever work they're going, a career that they want to pursue. So it's an amazing program for these young people. Honestly, John and I started this program back in 2006. We really were concerned about this next generation, to be honest with you. And we felt like young people were leaving from home, graduating from high school, headed to college, and oftentimes walking away from their faith. And we just got real burdened for that. And we thought maybe they need a gap year that gives some real solidify foundation for them to launch them to be ready for college. And so any proceeds from any of my book sales all go right back into that fund. It's a scholarship legacy fund to help these students to be able to be a part of the program throughout the year. And we're so grateful. And I was just there on the campus yesterday morning speaking to some of our students. And I don't know, you know, I know there's a lot of bad mouth about the next generation, but I tell you what, we've got some wonderful young people coming up through the ranks, and I'm just blessed every time I'm with them, and we're grateful to be able to provide this program for young people to be a part of.
That's great. Yes, I would probably dare to say that my parents talked about our generation if they were concerned
For
but our
sure.
generation, it is good that we lean into them and nurture them in the right way. Well, I know our listeners have heard a lot of great things here, but maybe they want to help by purchasing your book, A Legacy That Lasts. Where can people find out about it?
Yeah, you can find the book anywhere. You're certainly welcome to go to my website, trudycathywhite.com, and would love to a little bit more about what's going on in my life, how I might can connect with you. Love to speak and have opportunities to be around, but any of my books are available through there or Amazon as well.
Okay, very good. Well, you're an entrepreneur, and you're constantly, Ken Blanchard would say, you're constantly refiring. What does the future look like for Trudy?
Well, it looks bright. It looks like a lot of praying over all these grandchildren that we've our oldest is 19, our youngest is one, so
Oh,
we have a
wow.
long ways to go still. My dad used to say he was quite proud once he saw his children grow up and become young adults, and he had every reason to be proud of us, I guess. But he said somebody told him, it's not how your children turn out, it's how your grandchildren turn out that shows whether you were a good parent or not. So
I like that. I like that.
yes, and so if I hold on to that, a lot of prayer for these for this third generation that are coming up. But I always go back to these verses. If I can share these with you, I think it's a challenge
Sure.
for all of us from God's word that says, be careful how you live. Do not live as those who are unwise, but as those who are wise, making the most of every opportunity you've been given in these evil days. So the future for me is making the most of opportunities that God gives me to have an opportunity to be intentional with my influence.
Amen. That's a great way. Not my way, but your way. So, well, thank you for
Right.
sharing that. Well, we could talk on for a much longer time, but we're coming to the end of our time together. What are some closing thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I think just the reminder that we have an opportunity to own our legacy. In other words, we get to make our decisions about how we're going to live life. We all get the same amount of time, 24 hours in every day. So the choices that we make are so very important, whether in your own personal life as an individual, in your family life, or even in your business that you're running. It's an opportunity for us to be able to be focused on what's important in life. And so I think that's the challenge to all of us, is make the most of the opportunity you've been given, maximize your time, steward well what you've been given in terms of family, in terms of experiences. And I think the world will be a better place if we try to do that and recognize the fact that for us as Christians, our faith is so very important. It's a filter for all of our decision-making process. But we know that God provides strength. So there's a wonderful quote in the Bible that says that in quietness and in trust will be your strength. So may we all be stronger today and tomorrow.
Oh, well said. Well said. Thank you, Trudy. Well, Trudy, thank you for being my guest on Family Business today. Please accept our best wishes for continued success for the Cathy family, for you, and also for your book, A Legacy That Lasts.
Thank you so much. What an honor to be here today.
Well, to learn more about Trudy's new book, A Legacy That Lasts, visit www.alegacythatlastsbook.com. To learn more about Trudy, visit www.trudycathywhite.com. To our listeners, thank you for joining us for the Family Business Day podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Center for Family Business, located in Nashville, Tennessee. Our passion is to help families create a positive environment where the family thrives, the business performs, and working together create a lasting family legacy. Whether you're a business owner looking to grow your family business or you are wanting to prepare to someday sell or transition the business to the next generation, check out our free resources on our website at www.tncfb.com. If you want to talk to a family business advisor about your specific family business needs, schedule a 30-minute, no-cost call by sending us an email to info@tncfb.com. If you want to talk, we will listen. So until next time, thanks for joining us.